Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, this Anuchet starts with a short part of a verse spoken by Akrura. It says that he has many forms and one form. And then there's a discussion initiated by a statement by Madhvacharya commenting on the Vedanta Sutra, that he appears in different forms in response to different kinds of worship by various devotees. An example was given of a cloth that has other colors mixed in with it, and people see it as having different colors according to what angle they look at the cloth from. Or a Vaidurya stone appears different colors from different viewpoints. Then Lord Vamana appears. He appeared with his four arms and his weapons, and then in front of his parents, that form disappeared and was replaced with the form of a young brahmachari. Most brahmacharis don't appear that way. And now we're at 39.4. Atra parameshwaram vina anyasya sarvamshe tadvishatva abhavat. In connection with this, one should not find fault with the given analogy on the grounds that it is incomplete, because no one other than the Supreme Lord can be like him in all respects. Okay, I'm sorry. This is a little confusing. That's the reason why you shouldn't find fault with the analogy. Say the analogy is incomplete, but you're not going to find anybody that you can compare completely to the Supreme Lord. No one's the same as him. So you're only going to have partial analogies that can compare to the Supreme Lord. And anyway, analogy is not meant to be completely the same thing. Otherwise, you just have to say the moon is like the moon. But if you compare the face to the moon, you're not going to have the moon exactly the same as the face. That's the way normal comparison or metaphors or similes work. There's some points of comparison between two different things. So don't complain that what's being compared to the Lord isn't exactly the same as him. Nacha drishtante kandatatva dosha prasanjaniya. Okay. This analogy... Okay, so therefore... I already read that. So one shouldn't complain that the drishtanta, the example, is incomplete. Yata bhakshita kita parinama lala jata tantu sadhanopi urnanaba parameshwarasya jagat srishtav ananya sadhakatve drishtantaha yaturna nabir vidayat yityadi tadvat. This analogy is, for example, like that expressed. I don't need the for example. Let me give an example for an example. It's too much. This analogy is like that expressed in the words, such words as a spider from its heart. As a spider from its heart weaves out its web and then catches its food and then pulls the web back inside it. Similarly, the Supreme Lord sends forth the whole universe out of his body and in the end brings it back. There's an analogy. It's like a spider creating its web. As a spider from its heart, in which the Supreme Lord, when he creates the material world without taking help from anything else, is compared to a spider. The spider doesn't have to get help from somebody else. He produces the web from his own body. Even though the spider does take... Okay. Even though the spider does take help from the threads generated from its saliva. Okay, so the example's not complete. The spider is different. He does depend on the technology of his saliva turning into threads, which he has no control over. That was just provided by nature. And not only that, but that saliva is a transformation of the insects it has eaten. So, I mean, the Supreme Lord doesn't do that. Eat insects and then the saliva turns into the universe. So it's an incomplete analogy. Not exactly the same. Tadevam Sri Brahmanapi Sarvarupa Sadbhav Abhiprayen Aivoktam. Thus, Sri Brahma also says, so coming up is the actual main verse of the Anuchet, the next verse in Brahma's prayers. Sri Brahma also says, with reference to the presence of all the Supreme Lord's forms within him, Twam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita Ritsaroja Ase Shutekshita Pato Nanunata Pungsam Yad Yad Diyata Uragaya Vibhavayanti Tad Tad Vapur Pranayase Sadanugrahaya. O my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process. Can this fan be off and turn on that one instead? By the process of hearing from the Shruti, and thus their hearts can be cleansed, and you take your seat there in their hearts, after entering their ears. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. Okay, Jiva Goswami says, Pranayase prakarshena nayasi prakatayasi. Pranayase. Well, that can mean you lead somebody, but Krishna is not taking the devotee someplace. He's prakarshena, he's manifesting himself. That's what we have to make out of pranayase. He shows himself. Shruteksha pato iti anyena kalpanaya nirastatvat. Pranayase means you perfectly lead, or in other words, make manifest those various forms of himself. The phrase, who is seen, by the process of hearing from the Shruti, dispels the possibility that this is merely imagined. The devotees aren't just making up some idea in their heads of what they want God to look like. They're hearing from the authorized descriptions that are verified by the Shrutis, by the Vedas. Details may be found elsewhere, in the Puranas, or even some other person has written a description of the Lord's pastimes. Some Acharya has written a description of the Lord's appearance and pastimes. But it's all confirmed by the Shruti. This dispels the possibility that they're just imagining some idea of God. So Brahma doesn't talk specifically in this verse about the Lord appearing in all different kinds of forms. But I think in the next verse he will. And this verse he's explaining the basis of the process, how the Lord appears to the devotees. They worship him with devotion, and he reveals himself within his hearts to them. Actually, not just in the hearts. Well, here it's describing appearing in the heart. But he assumes tad tad vabhu, the various forms that they are worshiping. One devotee is worshiping one form in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. Each devotee is thinking maybe of a different form. And all those forms are, what Brahma is implying is that all those forms are there in the Supreme Lord. They're included with him. Commentary. No finite being has the same power as the Supreme Lord to expand himself in infinite forms. An actor or a spider may be offered as something of an analogy, but the comparison is imperfect. The actor is only pretending to be other people, and the spider has to use its digested food to make the web. The words, "who is seen by hearing from the revealed scriptures," affirm that the Lord's birth and activities are real, and without beginning or end, cause or material purpose. Okay, they're real. And since the Shruti is eternal, so if they're talking about events, they must be eternal, or at least periodically reoccurring in different ages. And they don't have, they're not some material product. And they don't, they're not, the avatars of the Lord are not serving material purposes. Okay, he has all forms, but sarva rupa tve pi bhakt anabiruchita rupa tve apavada shikardam avakyena. Since he possesses all forms, he might show a form that is unattractive to his devotee, but this is denied in the words of Sri Kardama. He has scary forms, he has terrible forms, but to his devotee, he doesn't show those kinds of forms. That denial is made in the words of Sri Kardama Muni. Tanyeva te birupani rupani bhagavam stava yani yani charochante swajanana marupinaha. My dear Lord, although you have no material form, you have your own innumerable forms. They truly are transcendental forms which are pleasing to your devotees, abhirupani, suitable and pleasing. He doesn't show frightening or displeasing forms to his devotees. Tani tani eva, the word eva is there only. Tava rupani te tava abhirupani yogyani nanyani ityartaha. This means that only those forms which appeal to your devotees are desirable, suitable for you, not others. Okay. There's two words there, rochante and abhirupani. So the devotees have a taste for seeing certain forms. Each devotee has a different taste. And you show suitable, appropriate forms according to what the devotees want. Abhirupani. Anyani cha yadrisham ranti devaya putsita rupam papanchitam tadrishani gyayani tadrishasya cha mayakatvam evahi tatroktam. The other forms can be understood to be like the ugly forms exhibited to Runti Deva, and the illusory nature of such a form is described in the narration about him. Tasya tri bhuvanadi shak paladak palamichatam atmanam darshayam chatpur maya vishnu vinirmitaha. Illusory energy manufactured by Lord Vishnu. Runti Deva was, he had performed a long vow fasting, and he was going to break his fast after a long time. And these low-class people, first a Brahmin, then a low-class person, an even lower-class person, came to him asking for something to eat. And he gave all this food away. So what was going on there is the lords of the three worlds, who can satisfy all materially ambitious men by giving them the rewards they desire, then manifested their identities before King Runti Deva, for their illusory appearances had been created by Lord Vishnu. Okay, these are demigods that appear to Runti Deva in disguise, not Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu doesn't have ugly forms. You know, the ugly forms are his expansions. The demigods sometimes have ugly forms. Durga sometimes comes in very ugly forms, frightening forms. Lord Shiva sometimes is Bhairava in his frightening form. So it's his jiva expansions that are sometimes, the demigods that are sometimes ugly and terrifying. Yes. But those are the Gaur Rupanis of the Buddhas, the Prajashyas and the Buddhas. Yeah, Prabhupada said demigods are ugly. Well, they are compared. Actually, I actually quote that in the commentary. It's coming up. So, well, okay, I'll comment on that in a minute. Tika Cha, this is Sridhar Swami's commentary. The commentator on this says, and that's Sridhar Swami, Tri Bhuvanadi Sha, the lords of the three worlds, are Brahma and so on. That's Sridhar Swami's opinion, not Vishnu, but Brahma and other demigods. Mayas Tadiya Dairya Parikshartam Pratamam Mayaya Vishaladi Rupena Pratita Santa Ityartaha. Santa is the present participle, nominative plural, masculine plural. Illusions, the Maya, that's in the subject case too, but plural. They were Mayas, illusions. What does that mean? That means that in order to test how steadfast he was, by the power of Maya, they at first were seen in the forms of outcasts and so on. Those are not the normal forms of the demigods. But by Vishnu's Maya, they appeared in those forms. That's the end of the commentary. Then Jiva Goswami adds, Anabirupatve hetur arupinaha iti prakrita rupa rahitasya iti tika cha. Why these forms were unattractive is explained by saying who is formless. And that means, according to Sridhar Swami, which is glossed in the commentary as arupinaha is there in the verse. No. Not there. Where does the rupina come from? Oh. That was Kardama saying about the rupina. Okay, well, he's going back to that. It's explained by Kardama Muni by saying who is formless, which is glossed in the commentary as who is without material form. Demigods can be ugly because they have material bodies. And material bodies, if you arrange things in a certain way, can be very ugly. Spiritual bodies can't be ugly. Vishnu's body cannot be ugly or frightening. Even the Virat Rupa is not actually the transcendental body of the Lord. It's not a spiritual body. So the Virat Rupa can be frightening because it's another material body. Bhagavatam.
demons. Can we say that he did?
Okay, Nisringadev is that's his special manifestation. He's manifestation. God can be angry. Okay, when God's angry, then he's frightening, but he's not ugly. He's not frightening because he looks ugly, scary, like some monster. He doesn't look like a monster, but he's angry and he can kill everybody. So he's frightening in that way. Damodar Gopal? Okay, continuing. In other words, aprakrit tatvena kutsi tatva asambhavad iti bhavaha. In other words, since the Supreme Lord's real form is transcendental, it cannot possibly be ugly. Okay? It can be scary, but it can't be ugly. Commentary. The Supreme Lord and his devotees can only be beautiful. So if they ever display unattractive forms, they must be temporary disguises. When a group of demigods led by Lord Brahma conspire to test the generosity of King Runtideva, they took help from Maya, the creative energy of Lord Vishnu, and manufactured four persons, a Brahmana, a Shudra, a dog keeper, and a Pulkasa, outcast, just for testing Runtideva. Runtideva, who had reached the time for breaking a fast he had undertaken for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu, he and his family had not eaten anything or even drunk water for 48 days. But at the very moment of his breakfast, the four persons came to him, one after another, begging for something to eat. Runtideva was left with nothing with which to break his fast. But he accepted this patiently and remembered the mercy of Lord Vishnu. I did something to the file. Wait a minute. Jumped. What number are we on? 39 point something? Six, okay. Okay, even though... He accepted this patiently and remembered the mercy of Lord Vishnu even though he was on the verge of death from starvation. At that moment, the disguised demigods showed their true forms and were ready to give him their blessings. But he was interested only in the favor of the Supreme Lord. He didn't accept blessings from the demigods. The undivine appearances of Brahma and the other three devas were products of Lord Vishnu's illusory energy. But even the real forms of the demigods are only imitations of the all-attractive bodily features of the personality of Godhead. In comparison to his perfect spiritual forms, all material bodies are ugly. Mumukshavo gora rupan hitva bhutapatinata Narayana Kalakshanta Bhajanti Yanasuyavaha. Those who are serious about liberation are certainly non-envious, and they respect all. Yet they reject the horrible and ghastly forms of the demigods and worship only the all-blissful forms of Lord Vishnu and his plenary portions. That's Prabhupada's translation. Atta prakrita padyasya katamva. That is, well, which verse? I'm sorry. Where is it? Where do we find it quoted? 38.1, spoken by Brahma, right? Okay, so going all the way back to that verse. Okay. There were four questions. Where do you appear? How do you appear? How many forms do you take? And when? So the question, when? Atta prakrita padyasya. Katam ved yadi traya yuktaye avashishnam sambodhana trayam vyakhyayate. Now to clarify the other three questions in the verse under discussion. Oh, okay. Katam va iti adi traya yuktaye. How many, and when? Those three questions. To clarify the other three questions in the verse under discussion, first, or how, and the other questions, the remaining three forms of address are explained. Those, why the answers are hinted at by the four sambodhanams used in that verse. So, O Bhagavan, Hey Bhagavan, Achintya Shakte, Achintyasya Bhagavan Murtyadi Avirbhavas Anyata Anupapatir, Achintya Swarupa Shaktir Eva Karanam Iti Bhava. What's Anyata Anupapati? Where is that idea developed? The principle of logic. It's a kind of logic. It's not regular logic. It's called in Western logic synthetic hyperbolic hypothesis or something. Negative synthetic hypothesis. Negative because you have no way to prove that Devadatta directly. You have no direct evidence that Devadatta is, you have no direct evidence to explain why Devadatta is fat. But you reason, okay, we know what he's not doing. He's not eating during the day. That's everybody sees. He comes to work and he doesn't touch a drop of food. So he must be eating at night. That's the conclusion. There's no other way to explain. We don't have any proof that he eats at night. We don't know where he goes and what he does. But he must be going somewhere and eating something when he leaves the office because he's fat. There's no other way to explain how he's fat. Okay, that's Anyata Anupapati. There's no other way to explain the given facts. It's a negative kind of logic. But it's actually a hypothesis. We presume that he must be eating at night because there's no other explanation of his fatness. Maybe there's some other explanation. Maybe he's got a systematic problem in his genes or something, but the normal explanation would be he must be eating some at when he leaves at night. Okay. Translation of the sentence I just read. This indicates, O Bhagavan, the address is, possessor of inconceivable energy. This indicates that the Supreme Lord's inconceivable personal energy must be the cause of the appearance of his personal form and other features. Because the appearance cannot be explained otherwise, the absolute truth is appearing in personal forms. And those personal forms have many features, variety. How can that be? We cannot, from what we know from the Shruti of the nature of Brahman, that shouldn't happen. The only explanation is, we do know that he has inconceivable energies by which he could do anything. So he can do this also. He can appear in personal forms by his inconceivable energy. That's the presumption. No other explanation how he can appear in those personal forms. This is the idea behind the question, or how. It's not actually the I, it's behind the answer to the question. But anyway, let me make a note. Is it the question or the answer? Similarly, Tata, he paratman. Paratman is in the verse. Paresham pratyekam api. Ananta Shakti Nam Purushad Yavataranam Atman Avatarin Twayi Tu Tasam Sutaram Ananta Twat tadavir bhava vibhutaya kati va van manasa gocharatvam apadyeran iti bhavaha. Similarly, the address, O Supreme Soul, Paratman. That means, Supreme Soul means the original from whom the avatars expand. Paratman of the others. The others means, because it's Anyesham, Paratman. The others are your descents as the Purusha, and so on, each of whom possesses unlimited energy. So Krishna is being addressed by Brahma as the Paratman, not just meaning he's the super soul in the hearts of all the embodied souls, but he's also the original from whom expand all his own self-same avatars. That's also a meaning of Paratma. This indicates that since these energies are certainly unlimited in you, how many of these appearances, opulences, can come within the scope of the speech and the mind? Okay, so we're not going to be able to answer how many. The number, how many forms you assume, is beyond our comprehension. Because you're the Supreme Soul, all possible forms are in you. And we're not present to witness all the appearances of all those forms. We can't count them. We can't imagine with our minds either. Iyam kati va. This is the reasoning behind the question, how many? Implying rhetorically that there's no way to count how many. Who knows? Who can ever know? Nobody can know how many. Because Brahma says, koveti. Who knows all these things? Who knows how many? Nobody knows. Tata he yogeshvara, ekasmin eva rupe, nana rupa yojana lakshanaya, yogamaya, namnya, swarupa shaktes, taya vaha ishana shila. Then he says, yogeshvara, O master of yoga. That's the third address. And that means you who are accustomed to ruling over or else ruling with your personal energy called Yogamaya. He rules Yogamaya and he uses Yogamaya to rule everything else. And who is capable of incorporating many forms within one form. This implies Ayam Bhavaha Yata Tava Pradhanam Rupam Antarbhut Anantarupam Tata tav amsharupam cha. Just as your form as the total material nature contains countless other forms, so also does the form of your plenary, personal plenary expansion. Okay. Narayan is the plenary expansion of Krishna. Narayan is also avatari in a secondary sense. All the other expansions are contained in Narayan. All the ones that come from him. So all the forms, most of the forms that come to the material world come from Narayan, except for the ones that come from Goloka directly. They don't come from Narayan. They may appear through Narayan. They may, as their lila, seem to appear from Narayan. That's their pleasure if they choose to do that. But other avatars that appear in the material world are coming from Narayan. So he's, in a relative way, he's the avatari, the source of incarnations, Narayan. Tatas cha yada tava yatramshe tadtadupasana palasya yasya rupasya prakashane cha tadaiva tatra tadrupam prakashase iti. This implies that just as your form, as the total, this is talking to Krishna, just as your form, as the total material nature, contains countless other forms, so also do the forms of your plenary, does the form of your plenary, so also does the form of your personal plenary expansion contain other forms. And thus, when someone desires, as the fruit of the particular worship he has offered, that you show yourself in some particular form, then only you show that form. So in order to, for the Lord's, one of the Lord's forms to be shown in the material world, there has to be someone in this material world, some devotee, sincerely hankering for the Lord to appear in that form. Without a devotee who wants that form, the form won't appear. That's the economy of Lord Vishnu's expanding. Just like the land developers who don't have an infinite resources, they'll only build the houses when someone is ready to pay to build the house. When they're commissioned, then they build a house for a particular customer. So like that, Lord Vishnu manifests a particular form. Even though there are countless forms, he doesn't manifest them until someone is asking particularly for that form, some devotee. Just like Advaitacharya asked Lord Chaitanya to come. Iyam kadet yasya yuktihi. This is the idea behind the question, when? Brahma is asking these questions rhetorically. It's these ideas that he had in mind when he asked the questions. As was cited in the previous Anuchid, one second, this is the commentary. As was cited in the previous Anuchid, Brahma wondered aloud to Krishna, who could be capable of understanding where, how, to what extent, and when? Where, how, to what extent, and when Krishna appears in his expanded forms? The question where was discussed in text 38. So we didn't cover where again. We started with katam, how. Science will never discover a material cause for the Supreme Lord's avatars, because there isn't any material cause. His appearance in this world is only possible by his transcendental power, nor will mathematics ever be able to enumerate all his forms. He is the source, support, and knower of everything that exists. To count his expansions would require counting everything. And no one can guess by any tracing of history when the Lord might show himself again. If those who don't believe the authority of the Vedas, they may speculate when there's going to be another incarnation of Vishnu. But they can't discover that. They could discover it if they had faith in the Shastras and looked in the Puranas. Then they could see that Kalki is coming. And when he's coming. But those who don't believe the authority of the Vedas, the foolish Hindus, some guy may come and say he's Kalki, even though he's 320,000 years early. Other people will believe him because they don't read the Puranas. Anyway, he is the master of Yogamaya, Lord Vishnu, who conceals and sometimes reveals countless aspects of his personality. When he is pleased with the devotee's pure desire, he shows whatever form the devotee prefers to see. He has to be pleased with the devotee. He doesn't have to respond to immature devotion. But when the devotee's endeavors are mature and his attitude is mature, then the Lord is pleased and he chooses to reveal himself. And he reveals himself in the particular way that the devotee wants him to reveal himself. Okay, I'm going to have to stop a little early, just out of exhaustion. Okay. Yes, sir. Yeah.
One South Indian great Vaishnava to whom the Lord Vishnu appeared as a dog.
Lord Vishnu appeared as a dog.
So I just remembered, because now we have Chandala quoted as an example of ugly form, and then we have a dog who is Vishnu himself. Is it an exception to the rule, or?
Why would it be an exception?
I know, because dogs are generally considered to be ugly.
Ugly. Well, so are pigs. Turtles. But when Lord Vishnu appears as a pig, he's somehow a very beautiful pig. So it must have been a very nice dog.
The devotee was not over in obeisance, but he was beating the dog with a stick. He knew that it was Vishnu, and he...
Still beat him.
Is it correct? Not beating? Oh, the others. Okay, because they didn't see it as a particularly attractive dog, it looks like.
Well, okay, their eyes are covered by something. Wow. Okay, anyway, Prabhupada tells us that Vishnu appears in all species of life. But he's never ugly. Okay, so thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.